What's up, podcaster or soon-to-be podcaster? Get ready to level up your podcast game because the number one podcast education summit of the year is back, and it's bigger and better than ever. I'm talking about the second annual podcast summit happening on July 4th and 5th in the content creation capital of the world. You already know, ATL, baby. Atlanta, Georgia, going down July 4th and 5th, two full days. Imagine this. Imagine you getting all the game you need to take your voice, your brand, your business to the next level. Imagine getting all the insider tips. Imagine getting all the know-how that you've been craving for the last 2, 3, 4 years where you're talking about you're going to start a podcast, but you haven't yet because you don't have the tools, you don't have the tips, you don't have the tricks. I don't care if you're just starting or you're a seasoned pro. This summit has something for everyone. Picture you mastering the basics of setting up your podcast or unlocking the secrets to grow your brand on social media. We're not just talking about podcasting here. I'm talking about you want to build a long form catalog, whether it's skits, movies. We got people talking about script writing. This is an incredible experience. Imagine discovering the art of securing these lucrative sponsorship deals. And that's not all. Learn the ropes of creating a pitch deck that has sponsors knocking down your door. But wait. There's more. This isn't just a summit. This is an experience. I'm telling you. Rub shoulders with industry leaders. And you got to network with the other people that are doing what you're doing. All the guests that have ever been on Social Proof Podcast, I'm giving them a free ticket. And in exchange, they promise me that they're going to sit down and do short interviews with you. We got podcast booths for our VIP members where you can sit down, pull somebody to a side, and you're going to create content in real time. I know what you're thinking. How do I get a part of this podcasting paradise? Well, it's simple. All you have to do is head over to podcastsummit.com, grab your tickets now, but hold on, because I have something really, really special for you. I got a little treat for my early birds, people who take action. The next 20 listeners and only 20 listeners who get your tickets right now, okay? I'm not only going to give you 20% off of whatever ticket level you get 20% off, but if you use the promo code BIGDEAL, it'll take 20% off immediately, but I'm also going to allow the first 20 people listening to this right now to be able to bring a friend, bring a teammate, bring a partner for absolutely free. You get general admission, they get general admission. You get VIP, they get VIP. Whatever ticket level you purchase, you get to bring a friend, partner, colleague, boo thing for absolutely free. Nothing extra required. My team's going to reach out to you, get your partner's name, or if you don't have the person you no, right now, yet, you got time, no pressure, you get us back. But use that code BIGDEAL, that triggers to let us know you get to bring someone for free. So don't wait. So secure your spot at the number one podcast education summit in the country. Join us July 4th and 5th in Atlanta. Let's turn your podcast dreams into a reality, y'all. Head over to podcastsummit.com. Use promo code Big Deal at checkout and get your tickets now. Don't miss out on the opportunity to take your podcast to new heights, take your brand to new heights, take your business to new heights with this unprecedented offer, okay? I'll see you at the summit. And don't forget to use promo code Big Deal.
Welcome to another episode of
Social Proof Podcast.
We're twinsies.
Hold on, Wiggins, how you feeling?
Yo, imagine what the people who are just seeing this for the first time are thinking right now.
What a ghetto show.
They're so ghetto. Mm. Yep.
How's your week?
My week has been, you know what? I've had an awesome week, but I've had some perspective shifts this week too. Okay. There was a major thing that happened over the weekend that like sat me down. How was your week?
I'd rather talk about the things you just got sat down by.
It sat me down. So Deja's outside walking the dog, and she calls me and says, "Mommy, there's a crime scene, like, right downstairs. Do you see it?"
I saw that in your stories.
Yeah. And I'm like, she's like, "The street's, like, taped off. There's a crime scene, blah, 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 blah." I'm like, what?
I'm sorry. I'm pouring this water.
It's okay. So I go outside on my balcony, and there is a man laying dead in the street, like right outside. And I had just spoken on the phone to a friend. I was talking to a friend on the phone, and he was extremely frustrated that he was stuck in traffic. Like a drive that would have normally taken him like 15, 20 minutes, it took him over an hour. And so we're on the phone and he's like, all this traffic, like I hate this traffic. And I said, you know what? I used to get really angry in traffic all the time too until I had a perspective shift. Like what's inconvenience for us, could be that somebody is fighting for their lives or worse somewhere further down the road, right? So I sit in traffic, and though it's inconvenient when it's traffic and it's bothersome if you're trying to be somewhere, I always think now, like, somebody could be up there dead while I'm just about to be late, right? So I go outside, and there's, or I'm on my balcony, and there's this guy laying dead in the street. They have him covered up with a sheet. And I'm just watching this whole scene unfold because at one point in my life, I wanted to be a crime scene detective. And I watched all of these legal shows that are, you know, Law and Order and all this stuff. And so I'm watching this as it uncovers, and I see, you know, every little aspect of it, the sheet, the, he was hit by an RV. He was on an electric scooter crossing, you know, an intersection, and the RV turned, didn't stop and hit him. And I'm watching like them asking the RV driver questions. I'm watching how people are coming outside in a, in frantic. I'm watching the photographer that they have come out that looks like, you know, like one of our photographers. Like they call the photographer out and he's taking pictures of the whole scene. I'm watching the detectives outline his body, or the first responders outline his body. I'm looking at how they hold the sheet up to pull the sheet off of his body so that they can protect as many people, witnesses, from seeing his body. But I have an aerial view of this. I see everything. And just, but what really struck me was as I'm seeing this, the intersection is getting on the interstate, but there's a building on the corner, right? So there's a building, and on this side of the corner, this side of the corner is where his body is laying. 20 feet away on this side of the corner, there is a woman and a young man who's taking her photos, getting content pictures. You can tell she's down there getting her content pics, right? Literally 20 feet away, this man is being photographed at the very same time to document his end of life. And it was just like, wow, we have so much. It literally, I was sitting out there just like, how much do we take for granted? How close are we are to the end of, you know, to somebody else's suffering? How close are we are to our own end? When I saw them being photographed for content and this man being photographed for evidence, it was like, wow.
Man. And the person that's creating content, they didn't see the accident.
I don't see how they didn't see the accident. Well, they didn't see the accident. They weren't there for the accident, but you saw the scene. You saw the crime scene, or whatever I guess it's called. You see all the fire trucks and the police officers, you see the medical examiner, you see all this stuff. But maybe they walked from the other way. I didn't see what direction they walked up from, but it didn't even look like, I didn't see how they didn't see him, but I can see how maybe they didn't. But it was just like, we're just out here living our lives and people are taking their last breaths. People are suffering. People are in, you know, just pain. And to see that, that wasn't my first time seeing a crime scene, but to see it play out that way was like, oh my God.
Life is short. Ladies and gentlemen, life is so short. And if anything ever happens to you, life goes on.
Life goes on. And that's what it was. Like, Shans, I'm sitting here. The whole thing played out over like 90 minutes. They just got this guy laying in the street. They got to collect all the evidence. Like, I am looking at them pick up as much of him off of the ground as possible. And the very last thing that happens, you know, they've got traffic blocked off. You can't drive. The very last thing that happens after they get him in the vehicle is the fire truck comes, the fire department comes, and they just come and hose off the ground of whatever was left. Whatever was left, they just hose it away until it, you know, is no longer red and body parts and stuff. And then they open the street back up and people just continue to drive and go on with their lives.
I wonder, what is your perspective on that? I mean, it's almost like we would hope if something happens, and we'll get to the entrepreneurship because we got to jump into some meat and potatoes today. But you think that the world stops for a moment, and you know, you're super important to the world, but people's lives are important to them. And I don't know if, I don't even know what to make of it. I don't even know what I'm trying to say, but life goes on. And like, we've had some people leave us that were close to us, if you're listening to this. And that person is super important, but life goes on.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's so many like discussions around it. Like, life is so fragile. And that's why I'm just super big into, one of the reasons I'm super big into my faith, because I don't believe that this is the end. This is the shortest part of our life here. So listen, whatever you're going, that's why I'll never trade my integrity for something, any sort of money, or, you know, I'll try to treat people right, because I know, I believe we're going to have to account for it later.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, life is short, bro.
And not only that, it's what are you doing with your life while you have it, right? Like, you don't even have to leave your door. You know, you don't have to leave your home anymore for this to be the last breath that you take.
Yeah.
What are you doing with your life? I think people, like, one of the reasons that I go so hard for entrepreneurship, and, you know, people think I'm tough, but it's like really no nonsense. Because once I heard the saying that the wealthiest place on earth are graveyards, because people died with their dreams inside of them, like, I couldn't unhear that. And so for me, it's like, how are you going to max out on this life's experience? What are you doing with your time every single day? Like, in the grand scheme of your life, was that argument more important than forgiveness?
Yeah.
Was somebody not believing in you more important than you going for it anyway? Was that binge watching of that TV series more important than you taking that course and getting the information that you need to get to the next level? Like, what are you doing with your life today? And if you have a dream inside of you, get it out, like, get it out right now. Yeah. Not only does it help to provide the quality of life that you want, but it gives your loved ones also something to continue to do in your name. Like, what we're doing right now, we can will this away. Like, our heirs will inherit our hard work. And it's not just like the absence of you being here. It's not just like a goodbye and that's it. That's your life. Like, some people exit this world and that's it. Like, there's, you've left nothing, you've done nothing. So if I can get anything or take anything from what I witnessed over the weekend, number one, it would be to check your complaining. Mm-hmm. Check your complaining. Are you complaining about something that is causing suffering to somebody else, right? I know it's inconvenient. I know it's taking longer. I know it's going to make you late. I know it may even make you miss an opportunity, mm-hmm. but in the grand scheme of what could be happening to cause that inconvenience. When you walk into that store and that cashier is taking too long, you know, are they moving through some kind of physical pain? Are they at work and couldn't get days off to handle a medical condition? Are they ill? Like, just calm down and check your complaining. Number two is to value the life that you have. Right? Value the life that you have, because we're all close. Every single day we are walking by someone else's close ending, right? Mm-hmm. And then number three is to maximize your life's experience. Like, get up and do all that you can every single day. And I know it's easier said than done, but every single day, like, before your head hits the pillow, ask yourself, like, am I satisfied with the life that I lived today?
Go after it, ladies and gentlemen. I am, again, I don't, if something happened today, I am good. I spent some time accumulating some cool stuff, and I think there's some people that love me, and I've loved on other people. But if it would have happened, let's say 15 years ago, I don't know how I could have lived such an average life. Mm-hmm. And you start to think to yourself, what I have done. Let's say your number is 60 and you're now 55. And you haven't accomplished what you set out to accomplish, what would you say to yourself? What would you say? If you're number 60, you're 55. I think most people would say, man, when I was in my 20s, I should have. When I was in my 30s, I should have. When I was in my 40s, I should have. Let's just not have a whole bunch of should haves. Mm. Let's just go after it. Here's what's crazy. If I don't accomplish something, I'm cool with that. But not trying, I don't think I'd be able to handle it.
Yeah.
I'll take the, hey, I went after that thing though. I didn't get it, but I went after it. An NBA player, let's say Reggie Miller was in the league, I don't know how many years, my favorite player, he did not win a championship. But I don't think he's sad about that because he know he went out on that floor every day and gave it everything he had. Now, the person that doesn't win a championship and he never went to practice, didn't go hard, he just sat on the bench, you got some regrets, bro. Because you could have done more. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You could have, the other team was better. But I personally gave it my all, my everything. I know AI is satisfied with his career. Allen Iverson went every night and went hard. So after it's over, he can't say, man, you know what? He knows he did everything he could. And I don't know his perspective, but let's just not be able to say, I did not try.
Yeah. So if you're watching this episode right now, you're an entrepreneur, someone who has a dream. I want you to take out pen and paper right now. And I want you to write down the top three things, dreams, goals, whatever it is that you need that you've been putting off for so long. Mm-hmm. Is it the business that you want to start? Is it the relationship that you want to go after? Is it the apology that you need to send out? Write down three things that. If you were nearing your end of life, right, or your ability to perform, you would have some regret. Like, just imagine if we heard more stories about what the regrets are during the final breaths. Mm-hmm. What would be your regrets during those final moments that you have here in your existence? I want you to pick three of those things, write them down, and I want you to identify the one that is the simplest for you to begin performing right away and commit to performing it right away. I also recommend that in order for you to get some help and accountability to do this, grab the book, The 12-Week Year. It will help you make sense of your big goals and show you how to break those big goals down into smaller goals so that you actually have a fighting chance to get some stuff done. That's just a freebie out there. Like, grab that book, write down these three things, and really get to work. And what I don't like most about the whole scenario is that it always takes these big deals to happen before we're reminded. And these are things that we know already. You already know that there are things that you should be doing, things that you should be going after, goals that you need to be focused on attempting to accomplish. You already know, but it took this story for you to get it. It took for me to see that, for me to say, okay, no more playing small. We just got to get out of that phase where it always takes something really major to happen in order for us to start getting in motion. So I encourage you, all our entrepreneurs, start that business, get that LLC, go ahead and apply for the trademark, get the bank account, put the idea out there, create the content. Let's get to work.
Yeah, something's on my heart this morning. So now that y'all got your pen and papers out, we are going to get to work because it's been a minute since we like dug deep into some how-to stuff. Okay. So we have 5 P's, and I literally just joined, you hit me this morning. I was like, ooh, this would be good for us to talk about. Because we may have talked about it before, but because I can't remember if we did, they don't remember either. So 5 things we need to check, right? And I'll give you the list, Donnie.
Okay.
Which I think we did this before, but just for talking points of where we'll go. Product, mm-hmm. pricing, packaging, positioning, mm-hmm. promotion. There's probably 5 things you need to check to where if your business isn't growing, we need to give these some consideration. And it's really, I was racking my brain to think, is there anything outside of these 5 that if all 5 of these are clicking on all cylinders, can you make a million? And the answer is yes. There's not much more outside of this. So, one, Donnie, let's talk about the product. Is the product a good product? My mm-hmm. question to you is, how do we start to make that determination?
Yeah. Is the product the good product, a good product? Number one, is there already a demand for it? Mm-hmm. Is there already a built-in demand for it? Sometimes we attempt to be so innovative that we're creating things that nobody has ever asked for ever, right? So
no one has ever asked for that ever.
Nobody has ever asked for this. But, you know, on the flip, there are things that you can introduce to the world and ideas that you can introduce, and you have to see if people are clicking on all cylinders and they're creating a demand for it. Is it solving a problem? Does your product solve a problem? So even if you want to be innovative, by doing so, is your product or service that you're offering solving anybody's problems? Yeah. Also, though, is the product unique enough yet usable enough where there is a large audience of people who need this? Meaning, does your product only serve a very small crowd of people? Like, you've niched it down and targeted it down so much that only 1,000 people in the world can use this product, then no, it's not a good product. So you want it to be something that is solving a problem,
yep.
something that people are already demanding, and something that a large number of people can use, ideally something that serves the masses.
I like that. So Donnie was talking about, do people want it already? And I think solving the problem is, do people need it? Mm-hmm. Because the problem in your head might be so trivial. Like or the problem, it's a problem for you, but it's not that big of a problem enough for people to even care to make the money. I'm trying to think of, all right, so there's a problem where I'm watching TV, but the TV is too bright for my eyes. So I make these lenses that slightly dim the TV so that I can see it clear, but it doesn't ruin the viewing experience. It's a dumb problem. It's a problem for you, but like, we get excited about this innovative idea we thought of that I can't believe anybody thought of it. Nobody thought of that because nobody cares. You know what I mean? I don't know how big the problem is. I think one of the ways we check it, and this is a slippery slope, Donnie, where we ask people, is this a good idea?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you ask three people, is it a good idea? And they say, no, it's not a good idea. That doesn't make it a not a good idea. You could have asked the wrong three people.
For sure.
But you got to ask a whole bunch of people, if this is a problem that we're dealing with, and if I made a solution, how valuable that'd be for you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Talk to people about the problem. Talk to people who have had experience maybe even mm-hmm. with that problem, or people who know people who have had experience with that problem. Like, you can't go to someone who is riding hard for natural hair, their anti-extensions, yeah. to test out your new wig line. Like, it just doesn't make sense, right? You go to somebody who is a wig wearer, they love them, they advocate for them. Go to somebody who's experienced the problem, but not even just talking to them. Give people your
You want a seat at the table, but what if you want a seat at an award show, a seat at Fashion Week, or a seat with the board of directors for a cause that excites you? A career that puts you in the driver's seat where your passions become your purpose. Do you love the world of music, the excitement of high fashion? Or perhaps you're driven by a desire to make a difference. No matter your passion, accountants are helping to lead the way to keep the music playing, the runways alive, and communities thriving. Imagine being an accountant, working in the music industry, working closely with your favorite artists on their financial strategies, or picture yourself as an accountant working in fashion, an essential part of the production process, helping designers thrive. Or how about an accountant working with nonprofits, impacting the community by guiding fiscal decisions? Well, Deloitte's Making Accounting Diverse and Equitable, or MADE, is here to help you seize that seat.
They're redefining accounting, especially for high school and college students, with a core focus on making a difference. If you're on the hunt for a career where your passions meet potential, take a moment to visit Deloitte Made's website at DeloitteMade.com. DeloitteMade.com. Wherever important decisions are being made, accountants are helping to lead the way. The future of accounting starts with you.
Product to test out, like allow people to work with the features and the benefits of the product and prove and demonstrate that it actually works, right? Because that's going to introduce us to another facet of the product, which is the quality of the product. Yeah. So that matters. Like, is your product a one-time use? And was it intended to be a one-time use? Or can you use this over and over and over again? And then that will bring us maybe to the next P.
For sure. Are we good on product? There's a lot of stuff we need to, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of products out here in the world.
It's a lot of products
that solve a problem. My daughter be having the coldest feet, and she put her feet on my leg. And it's a problem because I don't like the feeling of her cold feet on my leg. But I can't make her wear socks. So I was trying to think of something that I could put on my legs to make my legs not as cold when my daughter touches it.
Pants?
But not pants, because I don't want to wear pants. My point is, I let the idea go because I'm like, all right, I'll just have to endure it. But there are some people that are coming up with solutions to problems that don't matter. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, see, even when I talk about it, you're like, pants, bro, what's up pants. With you?
Does she not want to wear socks?
But if I don't talk to a coach or talk to somebody else, I'll spend time trying to solve this.
Now this
remember this guy, we'll say it was years ago. This guy had this workout equipment. And he spent a bunch of money coming up with solution to this equipment. This was years ago, guys. Years ago.
Yo.
So,
you were excited about it.
I was excited.
You thought it was innovative.
And Donnie was like, you know they do that already, right? And that guy was like, the guy was saying, this is a big problem. There's no solution. Donnie sent me, there's 1,000 of these.
But not only are there 1,000 of them, they are in literally every just basic gym across the United States, right? They're in every basic gym across. David is like, yo, we're going to invest in this fitness equipment. We're going to do blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, oh, okay. And you know, I didn't want to hurt this person's feelings years ago. And so I'm like, okay. But then after, I'm like, hey, Dave, just real quick, because, you know. it's in every gym. And how could you not know that? Was there a unique spin on it? And it's okay if your product is a recreation of something for that sure already exists.
But say that. And find out if there is something like it or similar, because we are in our own head and without. So I'm blind. You tell me something, I believe it. I'm like, yo, that's lit. But then I bring it to somebody else and they're like, no, it's not that super valuable like that. And take this note. Not everybody's hating on you. Mm-hmm. Not everybody's hating on you.
Yeah.
Some people take, oh, you don't like it, as you're hating. No.
No.
It just may not be a good idea.
This one just doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
The promotion on this one is untruthful.
For sure. 100%. So let's battle test. And I think that's one of the biggest reasons for having a coach. Let's battle test our ideas against somebody and take the answer as the answer, not as someone doing something to you emotionally.
Yeah, just take the answer as feedback.
Yes.
And the smart thing to do would be to compile a list of feedback so you can hear how often the same feedback is presented to you and you solve for it. Like, okay, I've received this particular feedback, like the fitness equipment. Yeah. Well, I've received enough feedback that says that this already exists in gyms mm-hmm. all across America. If I want to continue to offer this, market this, I either have to find another unique feature that truthfully makes this the only. So maybe I make it more lightweight. Maybe mm-hmm. it's the only one with LED lighting that, you know, stimulates the brain to want to work harder. Whatever that looks like. take that feedback, literally compile a spreadsheet, find out what feedback you're getting over and over and over, and then solve for that.
Yeah. Some of you guys have a good product. It's just a small tweak. There's a lot of products where they make a small tweak, boom, and it explodes. So that's product. We got to check our product. Morning Meetup, actionable CEO that's listening to this live that nobody else gets access to. Scale of 1 to 5, 5 being the most innovative, most creative, world-changing product or service that you offer. Comment 5 if it's that. 1 if you're finding out that nobody needs or cares about this particular product. I want to get your perspective on your own product or your own service. Scale of 1 to 5. 4, it's really good. Not the best in the world, but it's really, really good. 3, it'll still make me a million. It'll still make me a millionaire. 2, something drastic has to happen for like people to really love this thing. And 1, I don't even know why I created a business called Random Spoons. Okay, so 1 through 5. Let me see them comments. Pricing, Donnie, is the second P.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, this could go down a rabbit hole of a conversation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So pricing, number one, there's a strategy to pricing. And it has to do, number one, it starts with the product. Mm-hmm. It starts with the product. Is it a single-use product? Is this something that they get lifetime access to? Or do you get multi-use to it? But also, your price should be in alignment with how big the problem is that it's solving.
Mm.
If like you're that. Solving a super simple problem, then chances are you're more on the lower end of that particular industry's pricing model, right? But if you're solving a serious problem, really serious problem, you're going to be on the more expensive end. So let's just use the hair industry, for example. People who just want to wear extensions for non-medical purposes, right? You pay a couple hundred bucks. You can even go into some beauty supplies and there's synthetic hair options where you're paying $20, $40, $50 for some hair to add in your hand because it's cosmetic, it's not, or it's aesthetic and it's not a medical need.
Or it's aesthetic?
The look of it. You're just doing it for the look of it. Aesthetic.
I think it's orthesthetic.
No, or it's aesthetic.
Oh, okay.
You follow?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, great. However, there's another group of people who need these type of extensions or a hair solution for medical purposes. These are people who have like traction alopecia. They have an illness. They have something going on and they need a more permanent solution. So now we're getting into hair grafts and taking hair transplants and more permanent installation processes, right? Microlinks and tape-ins, things that last longer. Then you're getting on the higher end of the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
The problem that I'm seeing right now, if we're using hair as the example, is that I am seeing salon owners or hairstylists attempt to charge for a quick weave, right? A quick weave is more of your cosmetic fix. It's the aesthetic of it all. They're just literally gluing hair on top of the hair that you already have for a quick style. They're charging today for quick weaves what people are charging for microlink extensions, which is more of a strand by strand solution for people who want a natural based, you know, hairstyle. You have to be real with yourself about the problem that your product or your service is solving and how big is that problem that's attached to it. We'll start there.
Right? I love that. So, and check this out. Low price doesn't mean a lot of people. Low price doesn't mean a lot of people. We think that we lower the price, more people will come.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not always the case. Sometimes you lower the price on a big problem to solve. Because the price is so low, no one can believe that this will actually solve this big problem, and people will make a decision not to buy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think it's important to look at the market, see what's going on in the market. I'm not saying model the market, but at least get an idea of not just slapping a price tag on something, but let's find out what other people are charging, higher, lower, what are we offering, what do people like, what are people willing to pay, how soon do they start to pay it, have conversations with people about how they're starting to sell. There's a guy, he has a really dope brand, and his t-shirts are $20. Well, social proof t-shirts are $40. Somebody else's t-shirts, I came across a t-shirt guy in the mall, it's $100. Mm-hmm. What's the difference?
Yeah.
It's not always quality. Sometimes it's, we just put a price tag on it. Mm-hmm. But let's have some sort of rationale on why we're pricing what we're pricing.
Yeah.
Listen, family, Black representation in media is vital, okay? If we don't use our voice, we lose our voice in radio, television, print, etc. I remember listening to Arsenio Hall back in the day. I remember watching Oprah. I remember hearing these Black voices in media, and it made me always want to be a part of it. The next generation, however, of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. And in the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black stories and Black truths, okay? I'm checking out NPR, and I believe they have the real. The hosts understand the assignment and are telling the real stories of the Black experience. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story, obviously, but now they are the story. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. Hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcast that center Black voices. It's NPR Noir. Turn on NPR today and hear a range of voices as varied, nuanced, and as Black as the country we reflect. Stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR wherever you get podcasts. Business is tough, all right? And you have to keep your brain focused on the main thing by limiting distractions. But let me show you how business works. I'll give you some quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, and delivering products or services, the more margins you have and the more money you get to keep. But with higher expenses on materials and employees and distribution and borrowing money, of course, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR, into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, so you can access it from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Everything is more expensive these days, y'all. From food to employees to systems, inflation is going crazy. So it behooves you. It'd be wise to find proven ways to cut costs and boost performance all at the same time. Now through April 15th, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/socialproof. netsuite.com/socialproof. netsuite.com/socialproof.
Why are we doing that?
Yeah.
Let's just have some sort of conversation around it, not just saying, all right, here's the price tag. Yeah. Be able to explain it.
Yeah. And also make sure the people that you're selling this to can pay that price.
Mm-hmm.
That is a huge one. Sometimes it just doesn't make sense. Like, you can't sell a $1,000 random product that's not a necessity to someone who is just living off of retirement income. It just doesn't make sense to attempt to build that particular business model. So is your price in alignment with the person that you're, or the audience that you're looking to sell this to? And then once you start getting into higher levels of offering, making offers, you have to ask yourself, or you have to consider, something to consider is, with my price. Okay, so I have high ticket services, high ticket pricing. do I give people any other option for payment rather than all up front? Is this something that in my audience, in my target audience, maybe a payment plan would be something that will help my price to, you know, be acceptable? Maybe financing options are some things that I need to consider when you're pricing yourself out, especially if you are going to be at the super, super high level. You want to be able to say this qualifies for payment plans and include a solution for that. Here are some places that you can go that will approve my offer, not just, oh, you can get financing, but I don't have any options to share with you on how to get that financing. That's really important. You see this happening now on Fashion Nova, you know, and all these other, anywhere that you can shop almost, there's Afterpay, there's ShopPay, there's Klarna, there's all these things, because they're starting to understand that they can make more sales by offering, keeping the price, but breaking up the way the people pay that price. And maybe that's it. Like, when you're considering your pricing, are you considering how they pay you?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I was, okay, we could have this conversation. Donnie's program, Actual CEO and Morning Meetup, two different prices, two different models. I've tried 100 different prices over the last 7 years. I mean, just different ways to position it. Because Donnie's pricing is the way it's priced right now, doesn't mean it's going to be that way next year or next month.
Won't.
Because we're all, and won't.
And won't.
We're just trying to, like, figure out. Listen, I done went from $197 a month to $47 a month to $97 to $79 to only for a year, dollar trial. Look for the sweet spot. Don't think just because you price it something today, it has to stay that way at the same time. And I want to get your opinion. I want to get your, to play advocate, not advocate, but I'm going to think through some pricing stuff right now that I'm working on right now. Mm-hmm. Ready? So I wrote a book. It's a kid's book with stories of entrepreneurs. Kid's book, stories of entrepreneurs. And at first, it was one book with 10 stories, which each story is maybe like 10 pages. So 100 page, some overage, 120 pages. And I'm like, all right, I'll sell one book. How much can we sell that book for? What'd you think? What do you think?
Whatever you ask.
I mean, but what would, just give me something. Let's say you got a kid's book, 10 stories, 100 something pages. What goes, what thought process do you go to?
Immediately, what's in Barnes & Noble? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm immediately going to Barnes & Noble, checking children's book categories and seeing what the average book is selling for there. That kind of matches the audience, the size. Yeah. And I'd say no more than $24.99.
Love it. Is there a pricing difference between a book with 10 stories and a book with four?
Not necessarily.
There's no pricing difference. No. So in my head, I'm thinking, instead of one book, let's break it down into three books. Because people are going to
make a series out of it.
Make a series. So for the same thing, I don't know that I can charge more money because it's more stories the audience won't understand. But I'm seeing children's books from $20 to $49.99, right? And there's a whole bunch in there. So I started thinking, and again, this, the reason I'm going through this, because I want you to see how I'm approaching pricing, and we can also get Donnie's perspective on how she would go at it. So now I'm like, all right, two books or three books, and I'll just keep a series going. But then I started thinking to myself, what is the difference between selling a book with 10 stories and a book with one story? One story, 10 pages, and I'll fill out, I'll write some stuff in there. It's not just a comic book, but I'll write some, just like some story stuff in there, maybe two pages of that explaining the story. But I'm like, well, this one book, maybe we could sell it for $20. I could do that, right? That'd be good. And I think people will buy it. But then this is what I settled on, and I want to know your thoughts. I'm going to do four stories, 4 different books and package it into a package, and you sell the whole packaging for $100. Mm-hmm.
I was literally sitting here thinking I would keep the 10-story idea, mm-hmm. and put them in the box. You know, like my mom used to buy these for me as a kid. I'd get the box, like the murder mystery novels. You get the whole volume in a package. Like, you could buy them individually, or you can buy the entire package for a higher price. And now I've got this cool volume of books. And anytime I went into the bookstore, I wanted the whole package. Like, I want the whole volume, because I was an avid reader. You know that you're going to buy all 10 of these books, period. Just go ahead and buy the box. Yeah. So if it were me, yes, you could do 4 stories, but you could also even do the 10 small reads. So they're getting through this quickly. And then I'd have something on the back end of that, where once they get through these books quickly, now what do these children need? Mm.
Let me show you how the value can instantly change based on the way we promote it. Mm-hmm. So we could sell, here's a $20 book. People, they'll buy it comfortably. No problem. But if I'm positioning it like, your child needs to understand these concepts, because if we can start them young, even thinking in this direction, because some of the stories in there, people don't think about this stuff till they're like 30, 40 years old. But if I can get them to think about it 10, 11, 12 years old, and they can actually do everything that's in this book. Mm-hmm. This package is not about selling them a book. It's a manual on how to start a kid's business, mm-hmm. which makes it an easier sell for $100. If a course is $1,000, this is a course for kids. So the messaging itself can change. It changes it from, you're just buying a book, to, I'm paying $100 for something different. I'm paying $100 for teaching my child how to be an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. So even the messaging changes the pricing. And we're giving a lot of stuff that you guys are going to be confused about. So you can at least start thinking that a price isn't something you like throw on a product. Mm-hmm. It's something you have to think through all of the angles.
Yeah. I would encourage you to, an author that I know was masterful at doing that is Nancy Drew. Nancy Drew. I grew up on Nancy Drew books, and you could either buy her books individually, or you could buy the whole series of these murder mystery books. And they were so good. And that's anytime. So she created and released several different volumes. Like, it would be the series of the haunted house and the series of the car in the lake, you know, different mm-hmm. things like that. So it gives you room to grow. But I would definitely look at her journey as one of the top murder mystery literary authors of all time.
Ooh.
You see it?
Nah, I'm looking right now.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm looking right now.
Nancy Drew was popping when I was a small child, before that, and she's still popping today. Her books are still popping today. So I would use her as a case study to see how she's doing it, she did it.
Do me a favor, throw it in the chat. If you are getting some value, if you're going to spend a little more time coming up with a price that makes sense, just come up with a price that makes sense. Don't just throw it out there because somebody else charged that. Make it make sense to you. Okay. Next, we have packaging, which affects pricing too, right?
Mm-hmm. For sure. The packaging, people buy with their eyes first. Mm-hmm. They buy with their eyes first. They may have a need, right? The need is there. The need was there before they were introduced to your offer. Yeah. But when they are looking at their options of all of the products and services that are available to solve their problem, they are starting with their eyes first. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to packaging, number one, what does your branding look like, right? Is your branding in alignment with what you like, or is your branding in alignment with what your audience needs to see? So for example, I have a client who sells cookbooks, and I shared with him one of my strategies for his cookbook, which is selling like crazy, was that the branding colors don't need to be colors that necessarily you like. We're not doing a turquoise and royal blue cookbook. What I want us to do, there are colors that are relevant to every industry, that based on the color, it sets the mood for the person who needs it. Mm-hmm. In the food industry, Red, yellow, white are the primary colors of food businesses. So you look at like Burger King, you look at McDonald's, you look at Arby's, you look at Wendy's, you look at Zaxby's, even though they've thrown in some blue, they're all using these primary colors of red, yellow, white. Chick-fil-A, red and white. So we're looking at these top fast food businesses, and we've incorporated that into how he sells his cookbooks, because colors play on certain moods. Red, white, yellow, that combination appeals to people who are hungry. Mm-hmm. It stands out. Mm. So I want you to look at your particular industry and how colors work in your industry. In banking, oftentimes you see the colors blue, you see the colors red, you see the colors white. It causes people to start thinking about and identifying you as a financial institution. Barber shops use the colors red, white, and blue all the time. You want to be successful and stand out as a barber shop? Use the colors red, white, and blue. Leave all that other stuff alone. There are... When it comes to packaging, when it comes to all of this stuff, like I just told David to utilize Nancy Drew as an example, because they've already been there, done that, right? Corporations literally pay analysts millions of dollars, millions, hundreds of thousands of dollars even, maybe, to study these little bitty tweaks that they make, right? Well, why should we use these colors? How does it make the audience feel? How does it make the buyer feel? Why do we leverage fonts that look like this? Why do we leverage sizing that looks like this? Why is the brand name this size and then the tagline this size? And why are we using colors and this type of packaging? They've paid these analysts hundreds of thousands, these agencies, even millions of dollars to figure this stuff out. You have it so easy by simply doing a simple research that says, mm-hmm. What colors move the needle in the banking industry? What colors move the industry in the financial industry? That's for all of you credit experts, you funding experts, you CPAs. What color moves the needle in your business? What color moves the needle if you're in, let's say, film directing or something like that? What color moves the needle in the film industry? Look at Paramount and MGM. What are they using? How are they putting it out there? This is your packaging. And sometimes your offer isn't selling because your packaging is too personal. You've got leopard print fonts or leopard print logos on your, I don't know, retirement services company. That's not appealing to your audience, right? What do they need to see? And if you're serving, you know, like seniors, as their eyesight change and eye quality becomes limited, how do you need to change things up and make sure that it's basic for them to see? Maybe you're, you know, those things are so important with packaging. That's number one.
100%. And how it actually, it's packaged. Yo, Beyonce sent out, do you remember her package?
Ivy Park?
Bro, it was a crate the size of a 10-year-old.
Everybody had to have it. She literally sent an armoire.
Right. It's like a war chest size.
She
crazy.
Sent a closet.
Come on, man.
With your gifts in it. Like, that was impressive packaging. It made every celebrity on the internet, like all the celebrities who are familiar with pop culture on the internet, saying, Beyonce, where's my package? They're literally running outside, checking the mail, like, yeah, or looking for the driver to pull up with their packaging, with their package. But it also sent consumers in a frenzy. Everybody wants this now because she knew how to package this so well that it would make it go viral on the internet.
Yo, I got a box of cookies from Didi.
That was so hard. That was so hard.
Yo, for one, the box of cookies was like $180, I think. But the packaging made me want to send it to everybody I know for their particular event, because I'm opening the packet. It's a box with a little flap on it. And yo, I don't know. I forgot the name of the, what was the cookies? You know the cookie brand?
I don't know the cookie brand.
Something Crumble, something.
Is it Cookie Crumble? Is it Crumble?
It's not Crumble Cookie. First off, I think they're taking shots at Crumble Cookie.
Are they?
Because there's like not a Crumble.
Let me ask Trap, because she's going to something like that. Too.
Crumble, so, where's Kay at? Yo, because here's what's crazy. Kay looks it up out of her curiosity. And she somehow is led to a link where the company is bragging on Last Crumb. It's called Last Crumb.
Last Crumb.
So it's somehow leads her to a link where they're boasting about a product that they're coming out with to be the most expensive cookie. And they're bragging about them dropping and releasing a $12,000 package for cookies. So we thought the one that we got was the cookie. I was like, I FaceTimed Dee Dee. Listen, I know you ain't sent me no $12,000 cookie. And she's like, no, that was like something else that they were doing. But it was still like $180. I was so impressed by the packaging. The cookie was good, but I fell in love with it before I tried a cookie.
Was the cookie delicious?
The cookie was delicious, but
it was the whole experience.
It was the whole experience.
Is your packaging creating an experience?
For sure. Mm-hmm. And I think which goes into more of the packaging, we're talking about a product, but even service packaging is when someone signs up, the email that they get, the call right after, what happens, the deliverability, things of that nature.
It's the lead, it's the landing page, it's everything. Oh, this is the package. Your packaging.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Everything is your packaging. And I have judged many high quality offers based off of the packaging alone. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember ordering this dress one year for my birthday, and it was a $400 dress from this boutique, and the dress is fabulous. However, it arrived to me in a USPS just mailer.
Don't do it.
It arrived to me in a USPS mailer, and I was instantly turned off from the brand. I even reached out to the young lady and I said, I love my dress so much. I really do. And this young lady's brand is popping. Okay. So this is not an issue where they didn't have the money to invest. This was more of an issue where they are trying to keep as many coins as possible and not invest in their customer. And when you're investing in your packaging, you're investing in your customer, right? You're also investing in your business, because if the packaging is done right, they are putting this all over the internet. That's free marketing. That's user-generated marketing for you. So I reached out to the young lady and I said, girl, I love my dress, but the packaging, like, it could have gotten damaged. You know, things get damaged all the time in USPS mailers. It could have gotten damaged. When I cut into it, you know, I could have damaged the garment that way. Maybe you should consider, I sent her a couple of links, like, here's some packaging options for you. And her response was, we don't get enough customers who complain about it to be concerned with the packaging. Yeah. And here's the thing about that. Not every customer will send you the complaint.
Yeah. Come on, man.
Some of the complaints are just in the group chat.
Yeah.
Okay. Some of the complaints are just taking place on their social media pages and you're not tagged. Some of those complaints come in the form of a missed opportunity for a referral. Okay.
Yeah.
Not every single complaint is making it directly to your inbox. And I haven't ordered anything else from her because I just felt like I love my dress, but I could have gotten that dress for $200 somewhere if I really sat down and if I took a picture of that dress and uploaded it into Google Chrome images, I could have found that dress somewhere else.
Oh, for sure.
Right. I wanted to support her business. I was familiar with her. But the packaging just turned me up. Like, it wasn't even wrapped in anything. It was just stuck in a USPS mailer. And I was completely turned off.
Yeah. Now, we stopped shipping stuff to, we had a distribution center for the Social Proof apparel. Mm-hmm. And the way they was packing it, bruh, like people send me a picture. I'm like, yo, I'm immediately taking this away, because it just, there's no way you're going to do a video. So if you would have done a video, oh my gosh, the packaging, thousands of people see it.
Mm-hmm.
But let's multiply that times however many people are ordering.
Yeah.
Thousands of exposure. So we're thinking, well, people aren't complaining. Hey, y'all, I ain't going to lie, man. They sent me this Eufy lock. Think about being on the couch. Someone rings the doorbell. Your child left their key at school and they need you to get off the couch to open the door. Well, you don't have to do it anymore with this Eufy lock. You can open, unlock, see who's at the door all on your phone. It's super easy to install. You can set up with just a Phillips screwdriver, no drilling required. It's keyless entry, so it's no more fumbling for your keys when your hands are full coming from the grocery store. 0.3 second fingerprint recognition. Listen, you put your fingerprint on there, You don't have, even if you got your bags, you put one finger out there, boop, you get to unlock your door that way. No battery anxiety. You don't have to worry about the battery dying. Quick charging, it's incredible. Also, passcode unlocking and remote control with a 2K clear sight camera so you can see who's at the front door. You're in control anywhere from the app. Enhanced night vision. It's absolutely incredible. No monthly fee either. So unlike other brands that charge a monthly fee, you have recordings locally, and you don't have to pay for the storage. Customer support is on 10. Listen, Eufy is on standby for you 24/7 so you can enjoy a worry-free experience with an 18-month warranty, all backed by our professional customer service team. Listen, you can contact them anytime, telephone, email, or live chat. Okay, listen, you need this Eufy lock. You need to look it up. All you have to do is go to the official website, Eufy, EUFY.com. I just ordered mine, okay? I love this product. It is incredible. It's a game changer. It makes life so much easier, right? So if you have a video doorbell already or any smart lock, it's time to replace it. It's time to replace it. So listen, search Eufy, EUFY video lock. Search Eufy Video Lock. That's EUFY Video Lock. Or visit eufyofficial.com/video lock to see how you can gain complete control of your door. Okay? You can get a complete control of your front door, your life, back door. Incredible. Okay? So search Eufy, EUFY Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/video lock. But people aren't raving either. Mm-hmm. If people were raving about it, that might 10x the entire business.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. I have been so impressed by packaging. Who does great packaging? Shout out to Ella Liske, I think is how you pronounce it. I have no problem giving her money for her dresses. I have no problem paying whatever she's asking because it's like a whole experience. I really feel like I'm getting something custom, and it comes in a beautiful box and it's great packaging. And there's, you know, she's taking the time to create these thank you cards. And I even love the extra touch sometimes when the brand owners will write a note, they'll write a note and say, hey, thank you so much for shopping. Like, packaging is so important, because when you poorly package your offer, it immediately makes me think, like, when she threw that $400-something dress in just a USPS mailer, and it wasn't wrapped in anything, not even the tissue wrap to put in, it immediately made me start questioning the quality of what I even purchased.
Yeah.
Like, now I don't know if it's worth, like, if you don't even feel like it's worth enough to protect it and package it well, now I'm thinking, I must have gotten, you know, on this, because you can get got all the time paying for stuff. And I used to be a boutique owner. So I look at garments now and I'm like, I know I could have gotten this much cheaper. Yeah. I could have got a whole wholesale package of the same thing that I just paid you all this money for and still paid less money, right?
100%.
So yeah, your packaging, you don't want people, because here's what's going to happen. People are going to start poking holes at your entire operation if the packaging isn't right, and you are now introducing your customer to their first opportunity to start making complaints about your brand. Oh. And once they complain about one thing, they are like fine tooth combing everything else, looking for any other area to do a chargeback, mm-hmm. a refund request, or anything. So wow, people right out of the gate.
I think 30% of a high-end restaurant, you're paying for the packaging and the presentation.
Sure.
Like, they're off rip. It's, yeah, I don't know if mashed potatoes at, I went to Outback yesterday. Potatoes was fire, first off. But I've had the same side that's $6 there, I paid $15, $20 for some mashed potatoes at a high-end restaurant. Are they using golden potatoes? Are they shipping them in from a whole nother? Are they shipping them from Adam and Eve's garden? No. It's the same process. I'm sure they have some flavor profile, stuff like that. But 30% is the fact that the potatoes in a high-end restaurant come in its own little dish. My potatoes at Outback came on the plate next to the steak.
Listen, you mess around and go to GPI Fridays. You got a Longhorn, your potato comes in foil.
Come on, man. Come on, man. And then it'd be like these nice serving dishes at the restaurant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You paying 30% to look at that. Right there.
With a nicely packaged serving of butter.
Come on, man. They don't give you the butter in a square, in the little gold little chip. They just take them out. They just take them out and put them into one butter. It's
they
the
got
same
the ramekin,
butter.
But they've put the parsley on, and it's an equal spread. It's not just like a dropped cluster of parsley for you to spread out. They've thought about the packaging.
You'll make more money from the packaging.
Literally, these higher end restaurants, everything is packaging, from the valet experience to how the what's the landscaping like on the outside? How is it walking in? Your hostess, your greeters are a part of how you package this service. All of these things matter. Is the carpet in here? Can we smell it? Because, you know, we can smell some carpet, right? We done been in some places that were supposed to be high end. And immediately I'm checking everything if I can smell your carpet. But every single thing is going to be packaging, from the material on your chairs. Like, you can't go, we're not going to walk into a restaurant and pay $200 for a steak if you sit me at a table with vinyl tablecloths that have the green vinyl tablecloths with the pink and blue flowers on it.
Come on.
I'm not trusting where you sourced this steak from, okay? This is not looking like a steak from the cattle that I want to eat.
Come on,
right?
Man.
But everything is going to be packaging.
People pay for the pack. No lie. This is the truest story I've ever told. I was, this is like back in the day, and I was talking to this young lady, and I was at an event, and I was like, yo, pull up to the event. You know what I'm saying? So she pulls up, and not that good of a package.
Oh my God.
Why? I never did nobody swagger list. They show up and you just.
Very recent.
Here's what's crazy. After the event, I'm like, yo, you want to grab some knees? She's like, cool. My immediate thought was, all right, so like, you want to go grab some wings or something? Because her packaging said, we going for wings. Now, if you come up, done up, I'm not going to say, let's go get wings. You don't look like the type that I'm about to take to wings. It's like, yo, you got like, where's the steakhouse? Where's the nice, the packaging will get you more or less, depending on the package. So sis, get your hair done before going to the, don't be, that's why he took you to Chili's. Cause you look like, anybody ever took you to Chili's?
Nobody has ever taken me to Chili's.
Your packaging don't say Chili's.
My packaging doesn't. Nobody has ever taken me to Chili's.
Oh, gosh. All right. You want to move on?
However, I think I went on an Applebee's date or two in my younger days, for sure. Yeah.
I mean, younger, that's your situation.
Oh, but you mean sure. Like now?
This
grown?
Was a grown woman.
For no reason. I mean, but Wings. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. I might request Chili's because that bread, the way they package that bread, for sure. I don't know, the way I process that bread, they have the best bread on the planet.
But I cannot imagine, especially somebody knowing you, and not even just like how you show up on the date, knowing who you are, letting that come out of their mouth.
Okay, I have an example. Okay, I got a story.
Talk to me.
Packaging. So very recently, I went on a date.
This is such a good episode. This is such a good episode.
Okay, so I'm on Tinder, right? And, you know, I like to people watch on Tinder, and I rarely take a date on Tinder. I just like to kind of scroll. I be telling myself I'm going to go through with the process, like get out the house, Donnie, go on a date. And it just, I just never do. When I match with somebody, I be like, oh, okay, I still got it. You know, that's all I do it for. So I'm on Tinder and I'm swiping and I see this guy, and I'll swipe right if I find you attractive. But I see this guy and I swipe on him, and it, you know, it's just regular. We match and he sends me a message back that says, hey, like, what'd he say? He says something like, hey, like, I'm really impressed by your profile. You're beautiful. You speak intelligently because, you know, my bio and stuff. I'd love to take you on a dinner date tomorrow. Wear a dress similar to the one that's your main profile. He's like, wear a dress similar to the one that's your main profile picture, 7:30. And I said, okay.
Really?
Like, I looked at, first of all.
Yikes.
I look at it. I look at it and I'm like.
Al, okay. Talk to me like that.
Okay. Talk to me like that. Right? So I go back, like, let me go look at this dude profile. And I'm looking at the profile and I swipe through the pictures again and I'm like, okay, all right. This wasn't a sleepy swipe. Mm-hmm. But then his bio says one line. I'll never introduce you to an experience that I can't maintain.
Talk to me dirty.
Talk to me. You hear me? And his message wasn't the usual, hey, how are you? Where are you from? It was, wear a dress similar to the one that's in your profile.
Come on.
I want to take you to dinner tomorrow night. So by the time I saw the message, because I'm rarely on Tinder, I saw the message maybe 2 or 3 days later. And I said, oh, wow, I didn't see your message, but I'm available tomorrow.
Come on, packaging.
I'm available tomorrow. So he's like, okay, 7:30, steak market. Don't forget to wear a dress like the one in your Come profile. On.
The fact that it's important to him shows you how important he's thinking of his own packaging.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you mentioned that. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, steak market. You know steak market.
I've never been.
Okay.
Is it crazy?
Steak market is crazy. Okay. Everything is an experience. It is.
Atlanta?
Atlanta.
Arnett's or steak market?
Okay. I'm going to be honest.
Or is it similar?
They're, vibe-wise, steak market. Like, if you're really trying to be impressive, yeah. Steak market. Taste. Arnett.
Gotcha.
All right. Go for it. So steak market though is like a premier steakhouse here. It's boutique. You don't find it anywhere else. So I take a car to steak market because the parking can be tricky for women, like walking through their parking lot with your heels on. It's just kind of like, so I take a car and he's late. Okay. He's
packaging.
Late. Packaging. Now I don't even have this man's phone number. Okay. We're literally exchanged 2-3 messages. So I took a car. For several different reasons. I'm sitting at the bar and there's these two tables, this corporate party in there, and these guys are trying to send me drinks. And
because you're packaging.
Because I got my packaging. My packaging was, my presentation and my packaging was on point. So there are these guys in there that are trying to send me these drinks. And I'm like, oh no, you know, I'm waiting for somebody, you know. Even the bartender attempted to buy me a drink. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, you know, because I'm thinking packaging. I don't want to be sitting here with a drink already, right?
Come on.
So this guy walks in. He's maybe 15 minutes late. And I had told myself I was going to leave or whatever, but he's 15 minutes late. He walks in. Oh, no, no. He had sent a message 15 minutes in and said, I'm parking. Okay. So I'm on the.
I'm sorry. He sent the message after he was already late?
Yes. He sent the message Bad 15 move. Minutes later after he's already 15 minutes late and says he's parking. Okay. So I'm on the phone with somebody. I forget. And I'm like, yo, this is the longest parking experience ever, right? Because it took him like another 10 minutes to get inside. So he walks in, Shans, and he has on this polo shirt with the collar, short sleeve polo shirt with the collar, navy blue, these jeans.
I don't like it.
And some low top Air Force Ones.
I don't like it.
Okay. So instantly, I've got on.
What? Yo, as soon as you said polo, as soon as you said short sleeve polo
a
shirt.
A short sleeve polo.
And then jeans.
But I'm not done. I'm not done. He requested this dress and it's probably too far down. Okay, let me show you the dress that's on my profile. Mm-hmm. Okay, just for reference. Let me show you the dress that he was referring to that I wear
what in
on
the world?
This date. Because I'm thinking he's gonna come dressed. Yeah, you know,
I'm thinking he's to the nines right now, because this is what he does.
Okay, I don't know how to make these bigger. Oh. This is the dress that he's asking me to wear.
That's a dress.
Yep. This is a date night. Okay. This is a date night dress. Mm-hmm. All right. So he's got on his collar shirt, whatever. The problem wasn't even the outfit as much as the packaging. The collar shirt was a navy blue polo, but it had been washed several times.
I was just so ready to welcome him to the family.
No.
Call him bro and all that.
The shirt had been washed several times. So, you know, the color phase and the collar don't ever go back.
To wrinkle.
He got the crinkle fry collar. It's the crinkly collar.
Oh, the droopy collar. The jeans is crazy.
Had also been so washed that they lost their fit.
Nah.
And the Air Force Ones, the low top Air Force Ones, were no longer white. They weren't like.
You're joking.
No, they were the shoes that you demote to the gym shoe now. It's now the gym shoe. Okay. Yeah.
Well, yo, here's what's crazy. We were all rooting for this moment.
And let me just show my gosh. You who he is, because I sent Maya. Huh?
Yeah, no. We all had high hopes. Oh.
I sent Maya his photo because I'm going on this date. Yeah. Don't put it in the camera.
Okay. Why you ain't wear that?
Why you didn't wear this?
You could have low-key wore the same exact thing. Yeah, I'm talking about my man.
What does his bio say?
I'm never going to introduce you to a vibe I can't maintain.
Why you not doing, where's this vibe?
Yo, okay, so my man
got this. Where's Penthouse Poppy?
Yo, he's in a penthouse. He got the it's a dope blazer. He's in the middle of buttoning the blazer to show you. Whoa. This joint, like, it's going down.
Yeah.
Like, crisp collar shirt. Oh, where's this packaging?
This was packaging. This was properly.
But where was that
packaged
during the day? Come on, bro. How you fumble like that, bro?
Haircut, crisp, like everything. And he showed. And let me tell you what happened. Remember, I said the guys at the two tables were trying to send me drinks, including the bartender.
And now that ruins your packaging.
Now my packaging. Now I'm looking clearance rack like a mug. She must be wearing her big sister's clothes, because there's no way that package and that package go together. Instantly. So it's literally, I don't know if it was like an event, because it's two tables, just all men, just full of men, and they're all dressed, you know, so I'm thinking maybe it was a conference or something.
Right.
Instantly, the hostess comes in and she's like, your date's here. And Steak Market is tiny, so, you know, instantly the whole room. Okay, that was dramatic. That was dramatic.
Nah, I mean, felt like that. Like, everything goes quiet. The DJ says, it is.
Definitely the two tables of guys who had offered the drink. They're waiting to see who, and they're expecting that whoever's coming in is that guy. And I was just so disappointed. We had, I managed through the date. We had a great conversation.
Personality's good.
Personality is great. I told myself, I said, Donnie, just get through the date, because he's nice. And every encounter doesn't have to be a love connection. So I'm going through I'm going on with it. This has nothing to do with packaging, but I got to tell you why, like, it just ain't it. Talk to me. So we're at Steak Market. What do you think they sell?
Steak.
Steak. What do you expect your date to potentially order at Steak Market?
Steak.
Steak. All right. So the waitress comes over and she's like, have you guys been here before? I'm like, yeah, I've been here. And he's
hold on, hold on, because I need to brace myself, because this story got too many roller coasters. Hold on. Give me a minute. Give me a minute, Donnie.
Okay. 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 The waitress asks, do you need me to review the menu for you? And he says, no. Okay. Like, no, I have an idea of what I want. And I'm like, yeah, I've been here. She was asking basically, do we need to know how it works? Mm-hmm. Right. And we're both like, no. So she walks away. She's like, I'll give you a minute to order. And I'm looking at the menu and I'm like, okay, picking my entree. And I'm like, what are you thinking? And he's like, oh, I was thinking I'd get Brussels sprouts and mashed potatoes.
With his what? with your what, sir?
Get me out of here now. Get me. And so I look up from the menu and I'm like, what? He's like, I'm just going to get Brussels sprouts and mashed potatoes. And I said, are you not hungry?
Oh my God.
And he's like, oh, I don't eat meat. And I said, well, they have seafood. And he's like, I don't eat anything that ever had a heartbeat.
Hold on. Okay. When I just want to make sure I understand the story. Did you say, okay, let's go to Steak Market?
No. He said, Steak Market, 7:30. Okay. And he's blocked me now, so I can't even show you the message anymore. I can't even show you the messages anymore. But it was this. He said his first messages were this. And when I said I couldn't make it, he's like, okay, I'm making the reservation now, blah, 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 steak market 7:30. So he says mashed potatoes and Brussels sprouts. Then he explains that he doesn't eat meat. So I just asked him, like, why would you choose steak market if you don't eat meat? Because now at this point, looking at the packaging in front of me and your entree choice, I'm thinking there's a money issue at this point. And I said, we can leave here. Like, we can go somewhere else where there are more options for the both of us, somewhere that has some vegetarian options, blah, blah, blah. Because now I don't want to order anything. I'm completely uncomfortable. Right. Everything on the menu is a real grown up adult budget.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I know how Donnie eat.
Yeah, but now I gotta take it easy. Like, what am I supposed to do here? He's like, no, get what you want. You don't want me to do that. Okay. Do you see this packaging? So I end up, the waitress comes back and I end up ordering the cheapest steak on the menu because at this point I'm just like, just get through it. I ordered the cheapest steak on the menu because I have no other options. Like, this is what it is. And one side. You know, you usually have two side dishes with your meal. I order one little side and the cheapest steak on the menu. He ends up ordering mashed potatoes and a side salad. And so the waitress is looking at me.
Yo.
The waitress looks at me and she looks at him and she said, oh, does that complete your order? And I feel the need to say, oh, yeah, he doesn't eat meat. He didn't realize there weren't any vegetarian options. Like, at this point, so anyway, we make it through the day.
He could have got a full set. He could have got a side salad.
A side salad. And a side of mashed potatoes. Okay. The salad was a good size.
I'll give him that. Unbelievable.
The waitress comes back. And then she's explained, they're known for their drinks, really elaborate packaging presentation for their drinks. And so she's asking about these drinks and I want one. And he goes, oh, I don't drink. I stopped drinking in December. I'll just have water. And so she's like, okay. Do you want?
No, whoa. Okay. Because I know the question that this waitress asks me, and I don't even want to hear the answer.
Do you want still or sparkling?
I don't want to hear the answer.
And he's like, a glass of water would be fine. Just a glass of water. And she's like, well, we don't serve it like that. We only serve it in bottles. Do you want still or sparkling? And he ends up saying he wants still water. And, you know, they bring you a bottle of water for the table. Yeah. But when I tell you he drank all that dang on water... He drank all that water and I ended up getting a mocktail or whatever. I got a mocktail because like, what do you want me to do with this? Like, I am so underwhelmed with this complete experience. So she comes back with the bill and she's like the whole time, every time she walks away from our table, it's like, she's trying to figure out what's
Goodness
going on.
Gracious.
So she comes back with the bill and it's in the little billfold thing. And she looked at him and she looked at me. She genuinely had no idea who was paying for this. I'm looking like a whole sugar mama in this restaurant at this point. And she just sits the bill in the middle of the table.
Right in the middle.
And he did race for the bill. He did race for the bill, but it was definitely not about, and it wasn't an experience. Like, you can maintain this experience for sure.
Yeah, 100%.
Now you made a promise that you can absolutely keep.
At least he's honest.
This kind of experience, you can absolutely maintain. But it was just completely different from, and to circle this back to entrepreneurship, when you are putting out, like, don't invest all of this into the fancy landing pages and all of this stuff from the outside to get the date, i.e. the money. And then when they actually get to experience you, it's trash. The experience is terrible.
Yeah, you know, it's like a fancy box with nothing in it.
It was a fancy box. And so, yeah, he knew. He asked me to, I got to finish this date.
Unbelievable.
So remember I told you it took him a long time. I'm like, what kind of parking is he doing? So my driver pulls up. He walks me to the car. He's like, hey, let me know that you made it home safely. And I said, okay. Oh, before that, as the car's coming, the valet attendant comes and says, do you guys need us to get a car for you? And he's like, no. And I said, oh, you took a car here too? And he's like, no, I parked on the street. And so I'm looking and I'm like, I'm looking and there are no cars on the street because there's no street parking right here on Peachtree Street. There's no street parking. And I said, well, where'd
Whose
you park?
Whose man's is this? Yo, bro, if you are watching this, I have to know. Like, let's just, I want you to explain what's happening because she probably got it all wrong. I know how she is, bro. That's mm-hmm. my sister. She probably had some things misconstrued. Just send me a DM because I want to get the real story because mm-hmm. this isn't real. This is
yeah. So there are no cars in sight. So I'm like, well, where'd you park? He's like, oh, we're on, I think it may have been Peachtree and 8th or something. He's like, oh, I'm down on 5th Street.
Peachtree and 8th. Walk 3 blocks.
You walk 3 blocks? That's what took you 10 minutes to get
for
here.
For sure. Either avoiding parking.
He was avoiding the cost of parking.
Or avoiding you seeing what he drove.
Both at the same time. So he asked me to text him when I got home. And when I got home, I had the phone in my hand when I woke up. And I literally fell asleep. To responding to just let him know because he wasn't not a nice guy. He was a nice guy. I was going to let him know I got home. But by the time I had taken a shower and done all of that, I fell asleep. So the next day I went into the app and I was about to respond. And then that's when Deja said, Mommy, did you see the crime scene? And mm-hmm. I went outside and was caught up. And by the time that was all done, he blocked me.
Wow.
He had sent a message asking, sent a message about the date saying it went well, blah, blah, blah. And I guess he just thought I wasn't responding, which wasn't the case, just the nature of the events. So that's it for my Tinder dates.
Wow.
I did go on a different date.
I want to find this man. Listen, bro, I'll pay you $100 to come up here.
Yeah, well, and all of this happened. This was his packaging while he was sitting across the table from me telling me that he's in the process of buying a bank. Boy, get the...
Oh, my gosh. I almost, like, want to show his picture, like, for all the women out here that's about to get caught up. You know what I mean? From a very helpful perspective. I don't want nobody else getting caught.
And this is why I sit in the house. This is why I stay in the house. And, you know, there's a saying that you're not going to find your man just sitting in the house, right? Well, the next day.
You will find a cloud.
The next day I was sitting in the house and a very nice gentleman invited me out just randomly, just hit me on social. But this is somebody I know in real life. And he's like, I'm going to just throw it out there. Like, you want to do this? Mm-hmm. Somebody I know.
Do I know him?
You do. You've met him.
But I don't know him like that.
You don't know him like that, but you've met him.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I have to just show me who it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, but everybody shoots shots at Dottie, so.
Yeah, I mean, people do extend offers. I get really nervous about dating. I'm like, I'm good in every other area. Dating literally gives me so much anxiety. And when that approach off of Tinder, I said, oh, this what y'all doing on Tinder? And I'm ready to tell all the girls, y'all just ain't swiping right.
Come on, man.
Y'all just ain't swiping
right. Course coming soon. Let me show you how to do
this. Course coming soon. Let me show you how to navigate Tinder to get the man of your dreams because it looked really dreamy.
Oh,
and
my
aesthetically,
gosh.
His all that panned out. All that... Honey, I said, oh, I see what the girls are saying about Tinder now. I see what they're saying, and never again.
Oh, my gosh.
You ruined it.
Oof, okay. Yes, that was a whole masterclass in packaging. But make sure, if you have a nice package, it's not empty on the inside. Okay, last one, we got to get out of here. Promotion, Donnie. Promotion. And as an entrepreneur, I think one of the biggest challenges is we just don't promote the thing that we do. Especially in podcasting, I see that a lot. You'll release it on YouTube, release a clip on Monday about the podcast, but it's like no other promotion of it. There's no promotion. You just think when you put it out there, because it's good, it grows. One of the red flags I see for entrepreneurs is when most of their business, and this isn't all, but most of the business comes from referrals. That tells me a thing or two that you're not out there promoting and you're relying on other people to talk about how good you are. And I'm not saying you can't build a business that way, but you can't build one fast.
Mm-hmm.
So you actually have to promote and get the message out there.
Yep. Mm. And I think that's pretty self-explanatory. Yeah. Like you have to promote. The one thing that I will add is that I often run across a lot of entrepreneurs who rely on things like word of mouth because they simply don't want to show up on social media. They're like, I don't want to do social, blah, blah, blah. Listen, social media is our childhood commercials and billboards, and that just is what it is. And if you are looking to start a business, you are promoting. It's not about what you like to be on. It's about where are the people who this is for? Where are they hanging out? Where will they see this, right? That's why you see, especially when we had just like local TV and things like that, that's why you see on like on the HGTV, on the Home and Garden television channel, you don't see, you won't see commercials for digital courses, right? That's about starting a business. You're going to see your gardening commercials and your vacuum commercials. You're going to see all things home and garden because they understand that that's where their target market is hanging out, right? Mm-hmm. So unfortunately for you guys that are scared of social, the majority of your audience, they're on one of these social channels. Facts. It might not be Instagram. It might be LinkedIn. It might not be that. It might be Facebook. It might be, what's that one with the ghost face? Snapchat. Mm-hmm. It might be any, you have to find what social channel your audience is showing up for. And it's not for your enjoyment. Who cares? You don't have to like it.
Yeah.
It's to promote to the people who are there. And that's going to be your number one source of marketing, whether paid or organic, that you can promote on, period.
That's a fact. And I think for those people who aren't big on social, that is 100% the number one way. But promotion isn't just that. Promotion is if you're a landscaper, knocking on doors or putting the flyers in someone's mailbox or going to a particular event to promote yourself, to talk to other people and try to meet your ideal client. So we have to promote. We have to get out in the streets and get in front of people, which we missed one, which was positioning, which goes into kind of like the promotion, but how can we find you? Myron said something dope to me. He said, it's not always about how to find your ideal customer. Sometimes it's about making it easy to be found. How can we position you next to somebody who's already getting traffic? Positioning is the like Kia, the car company that's wrapped in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium because we are wanting to get in front of people. Let's position our brand in front of where people are going to be at. So how can we kind of create close alignment between people who have our product, our ideal customer. So,
yeah. But also positioning is a little different because that goes into promoting. Positioning is how do you position your offer, right? Mm-hmm. So how is it unique? This is when you want to understand what your unique selling proposition is. Like, how is it different from anything else? Is it the only of something? Is it the best of something? Had it made the number one of something? Is it super limited quantity? How you're positioning, what you're saying, basically, in how you're positioning it to your ideal audience and making it so that they understand that there's some sense of urgency here or a fear of missing out. Those are going to be very, very important because if you're just putting out a t-shirt, that's like all the other t-shirts, then you're not positioning that well, right? What is it about the fabric? Is it made in the United States versus made in Turkey or China or something like that? Is it something that all of the celebrities are going crazy over? Is it something that makes you feel a certain way? Does it wash well? How do you position your merchandise or your offer so that people want to prioritize buying it?
No, I feel that. I feel that. I look at like promotion and positioning, obviously different, but I think some lines do cross. I look at promotion like, how can I push something out and get in front of more people? But even where, let's say where the product is on a shelf at a grocery store, where it's at on the level, is it high? Is it eye level? Is it low? Like cereal, mm-hmm. like kid cereal, that sweet stuff, they position it low.
For the kids to see it,
mm-hmm. right? So it makes it easy to grab, right? But in our we position like as a mom and pop, or are we going broad distribution?
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully this was valuable to somebody, especially.
Or entertaining.
both. Bruh, Donnie, you know what? I'm sorry. You know how people talk about how rough it is as a single woman, especially in Atlanta? And I had no idea.
Yeah, well, and you know, to Atlanta's defense and to these single guys out here, when I do go on dates, the majority of the time they're amazing dates with amazing people.
But there's something wrong all the time.
Something wrong?
Yeah, it's always like it's a. Do you have this experience? Yo, this perfect is perfect, but if it wasn't for this one thing.
Well, isn't that just life? Like you, this outfit would be perfect, but if it wasn't for the way it buckled right here or something.
But it's like deal breakers, though.
Yeah, yeah, but that doesn't mean that these people aren't amazing. Like I have sat across from so many situations where I think of like, dang, I wish I didn't go on a date with them because they'd be perfect for somebody else. Like what's a deal breaker to me isn't a deal breaker for somebody else. Like I have some single friends that I've gone on dates with their husband. Like you should have been sitting here, and they won't even consider them now because I've already gone on a date with them. But I'm like, dang, this guy would have been perfect for you for whatever reason, just not for me. In the grand scheme of things, there's so many people in this world. Everybody isn't going to be a match. Just everybody won't be a match.
Bro, I got pawned off one time.
You did? Somebody passed you off?
Was dating the person. We were talking for a while. That's so funny, y'all. Like, y'all, literally, we were at, went to, like, she was at this bar with her friend. It's like, yo, come through. I'm like, all right, I'm with my homeboy. And she literally told me, like, I think you'd be a better fit for my friend.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Her friend was attracted too, so I didn't mind it. But then I thought about it like, dang, what's... I don't know how I was supposed to feel. Like, you didn't like me. But not that something was wrong with me or you wouldn't pass off to
your
friend.
And that's the thing. Like, there was nothing... Well, yeah, there were some things wrong with this guy. Just what was wrong with him was that he talked a bigger game. Mm-hmm. Than he could actually maintain.
Yeah.
He just didn't show up well for himself.
Hey, look, if you're single, put that in your bio because that joint's a winner. First off, I'll never introduce you to a life,
a vibe that I can't maintain.
Well, maybe just the dates weren't his vibe.
And it wasn't even that line for me. Like you saw the picture.
It was the whole package.
It was the whole package. And it was the approach. It was the aggressiveness of tomorrow, 7:30, wear that dress.
Okay.
And so I went back to the profile like, if this is the vibe that he's saying he's going to introduce me to that he wants to maintain, I need that kind of vibe.
Penthouse vibes.
That was a vibe.
And yeah, then but now when you really start
you show to up unvibed.
When you really start to look at it though, that picture that he's in is on a beach somewhere.
No, this was his place in LA. This was his place, well, allegedly.
There was water there. He lived in Atlanta.
He didn't do that. No. So on the date, we talked about it. He had lived in LA for some time. And he said, yeah, in fact, he's like, I lived in a condo. In fact, my profile picture is in my old place in LA. I mean, I don't know. I have no idea.
He's buying a bank.
But here's the thing.
Well, it parks around the corner.
It could have been his place because he had a room in his homeboy spot.
It could have not even been his place. It could have been.
It could have been moved
to or you moved to LA and your homeboy's like, yo, just come crash with me for a minute.
And you took that good picture. But all his pictures were great. Like, yeah, I wish sure I could show you the profile. It was a great profile. Listen.
I too have stood in front of very expensive cars that I don't own.
Yes. It was nothing like that. He didn't do any of that. For the only reason, he was attractive and he was well-dressed. And that's why I swiped. He was tall, attractive, well-dressed, perfect. Let me swipe right. I knew that we would match and he would say anything. I didn't have any intention on going on a date with this guy. It was the 7:30 tomorrow. Put that stuff on.
Whew, goodness gracious. Yes. This concludes another episode of the Social Proof Podcast. Listen, y'all, let's focus on these few things, okay? Something's missing. It's either the quality of the product. It could be the pricing is just off. It could be your packaging Could be your packaging.
Could
like,
be
let's
your
just
positioning.
Fix up your packaging. Could be your positioning. We don't know where to put you in the market.
Your promotion.
Could be your promotion.
Or the lack of all these things. Mm-hmm. The lack of all these things.
Yep. Let's make one strong at a time, okay? So we love y'all. And if, listen, brother, I will give you $100 to come up here and just
have
a conversation.
He's buying a bank, Chance. He don't need your
$100. He don't need my $100.
But I would love, listen, I sincerely would love to have you come here and explain, like, what were you thinking? Seriously. Like, why would you position yourself that way and then position yourself this way?
If I didn't think he was a liar, because I think he lies. Okay. That's what I think. There's too much going on where I think he is in a situation and he's lying about it, and there's going to be more stuff to lie about. I don't know the brother, just based on my assessment. Mm-hmm. But if I didn't think he was a liar, you know what I would have told you?
Hmm.
Take a guess.
Run?
No.
Oh, you would have said, oh, you could fix his clothes.
Come on, we can fix the swag. Come
yeah,
on, man.
And so that's exactly what I'm like. Oh, I could fix the swag. Yeah, I didn't fix some swags before. I can fix
the swag. You done fixed a swagger, too.
I didn't fix the swagger, too. But for me, it was the entire mashed potatoes and salad.
Come on, it's just bad form. It's just bad form.
It's bad form.
Yeah, just order. Order so they don't feel away. And I think this is educational for some people, because even if I'm not hungry, I'm going to order to not make you feel uncomfortable.
Just take me to a restaurant where we can both eat. He could have taken me to Houston's and he could have gotten a veggie burger. You know, like, bring me somewhere. You're taking me to a place where steaks start at like $75 just for the steak. That's not your drink. That's not, even if it's tea, it's not your drink. It's not your sides. It's none of that. You're taking me to a place where off top the steak starts at $70 and you're getting a $15 bowl of mashed potatoes.
You know what I would have done? I'd have ordered a salad, not a side salad. That's not coming out of my mouth. Let me get a side salad. I'm ordering a grown man salad, a salad that they market, and I'm just getting it without the meat or whatever. And then I'm getting every side. And then I'm saying, hey, let's just try a bunch of sides and allow you to get a size. And I didn't like the whole water thing, okay? When you say Ollie offer a sparkling or still, and you're still saying, nah, just a cup.
Well, he said, he was like, a glass is just fine with me. And they had to say, we don't do it by the glass. Like, you gonna buy this water, sure. Basically. Yeah, it was a lot going on. As I was sitting there, I obviously saw the gaps in his story. I knew immediately it wasn't gonna be a connection. There was just a lot that happened for me. And yes, I don't think that he was completely honest about who he is. Very nice guy. We had a great conversation, but he was trying to show out in the wrong box.
Mm. Brother, send me a DM, please. All right, y'all, man. Hey, if you are looking for a community to be a part of or two, you need to connect with Donnie and I. You can either go to themorningmeetup.com or actionableceo.com. Our audience is listening to this right now, which means they're ahead of y'all. They got this information ahead of y'all. And y'all know what happens in a race when someone can get a little bit ahead of you. Drastic differences, okay? So make sure you stay connected with us. If you're DMing Donnie, like, yo, how do I stay connected? Just join. Here's the best way. Packaging. Send a DM. I just joined Actionable CEO. I just joined Morning Meetup. It's the fastest way to get a response, right?
Mm-hmm. That's positioning.
That's positioning right That's there positioning. For sure.
That's positioning.
Love y'all. Share this episode Share this episode with a loved one, someone that you think could get value from it. Go fix those 5 P's, and we'll see y'all next week.
Yeah.
Peace.
We're out. Bye. What a day.
If you like the video that you just watched, click this one. You're going to like this one, maybe even more. Click it right now.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.